It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. The owners of the Ambassador Bridge scored a huge victory this week. The Maroon family finally has permission from the Canadian government to build a new bridge right next to the Ambassador, which is showing some signs of aging. Meanwhile, about 2 miles downriver, plans for the publicly funded Gordie Howe International Bridge continue to move forward. Jack, we could fill a book with all the drama these two planned bridges have sparked over the years. Is it time to start a new chapter?
Well, obviously, but we don't really know what this means. I think the media has rushed to assume that this means that Maroon can build his second bridge. It really doesn't, because they put a lot of restrictions on it. There's things he has to do. He has still property to acquire, and he has to get permission from the American side. And Governor Snyder is no friend of Matty Maroon, and he's not going to bend over backwards to help him. So they also promised, by the way, they have to demolish the old Ambassador Bridge within 5 years after the new one is built. The concern is that this may somehow delay the Gordie Howe Bridge further or tie up construction, but we'll just have to see how this all plays out.
A federal appeals court has sided with a Michigan county in a dispute over prayers at public meetings. Jackson County commissioners have been in the habit of starting their meetings with Christian-only prayers. A local resident sued. He said he felt like he had to participate in religion just to speak at meetings. The court says commissioners just happen to be Christian and are not promoting one faith over others. Now the case could head to the U.S. Supreme Court. Jack, prayers, public meetings, there's got to be a precedent somewhere.
Well, of course, there's precedents and precedents, and this is a very interesting case. A few decades ago, it would be very clear that these folks were going to lose, but the composition of the Supreme Court has changed. Remember, the Supreme Court has ruled that this is a secular society, that school prayer isn't allowed, and it was a split decision of this appellate panel. There was originally, I think, a part of the appeals court that ruled against the county, and then they ruled, the full bunch of judges ruled 9-6 that this was okay. But if this does go up to the U.S. Supreme Court, they could set some kind of a landmark precedent. I'm sort of mystified that Jackson County didn't rotate this, as many people do, with a Muslim cleric and a Jewish cleric sort of taking turns, but we'll just have to see how this goes.
After months of waiting, Michigan Supreme Court Justice Joan Larson finally faced the U.S. Senate this week. She testified at a confirmation hearing on her nomination to the Sixth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. Larson was named to the court by President Trump, who also has her on a list of potential U.S. Supreme Court nominees. Larson has made it clear that she's made no promises on how she would rule on cases and would have no problem reversing a presidential order. What do you think, Jack? A sincere promise or famous last words?
No, it's utterly sincere. A friend of mine who's a quite liberal higher court justice told me that they have extreme respect for Justice Larson, even when they disagree with her judicial philosophy, and judges are independent. Now, there's a supposition, of course, that she's going to come out on the conservative side of some issues, probably property issues, maybe abortion issues, but you're not allowed to ask them. And the history of the Supreme Court is a history of justices surprising U.S. presidents. So I think that there is no one who questions her integrity, even if they disagree with her philosophy.
Last week, the news cycle was dominated by the destruction Hurricane Harvey left in parts of Texas and Louisiana. Now all eyes are on Hurricane Irma as Florida prepares for the worst. While hundreds of thousands of people evacuated the state this week, Michigan utility workers headed for Florida to lend a hand in what could be a major disaster area. Jack, in the past, other states have jumped in and sent crews to Michigan to help out after major storms. Seems like a perfect time to return the favor.
Well, of course. I think this is one of the more admirable things about our society, that utilities just commonly do this back and forth. People go where they're needed. We just have to hope, of course, we don't get a tornado or some other weather event that knocks out a lot of power in Michigan, but that's really not all that likely this time of year, and of course people will help out. But I think the bigger story here is to what extent climate change is causing all these hurricanes to sort of happen at once.
And in perhaps the most stunning news this week, one of Michigan's own has made it into the latest edition of the Guinness Book of World Records. A cat from Ferndale set the world record for longest tail on a domestic cat. We're talking a tail that stretches more than 17 inches. So, how many world records have you set, Jack?
That would be an entirely different tail, Rebecca.
All right. Good luck with any future record setting and have a good weekend.
I hope you spend the weekend doing anything other than measuring cattails.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.